This morning, we're going to conclude our series, Seeking Wisdom, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. The purpose of this series has been to encourage each and every one of us to pursue wisdom today so that we may pass it on tomorrow. In the first of this series, we looked at Solomon and desiring wisdom above all other things. And then last week, we looked at the way of the wise and the anchor point that keeps us on the straight and narrow. And we recognize the characteristics of those on the path of the wisdom and on the path of the wicked. This morning, I want to preach a sermon that is very practical, because often wisdom is very practical. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, again, following the rhythm and structure of a father giving wisdom to his son, he gives four or five things that we could have talked about this morning in Proverbs chapter 6 that would say, how can you be prepared for life, son, if you do not know the way of wisdom? Things like financial prudence. That's the beginning of chapter 6. Then what we're going to talk about today by looking at the ant, a godly work ethic. And then having an integrity that you're not winking or pointing the foot to sort of undermine society. And then it goes into, you may have heard of the seven deadly sins. It may make you surprised to know that's not a phrase that actually turns up in the Bible. But there is in chapter 6, six things the Lord hates or detest, and seven that are an abomination, and he lists out things in that way. And then he concludes the chapter by talking about the dangers and destruction of adultery. And he says, there is no wisdom that would take you outside of the vows of your marriage covenant. And so it is a wide-ranging, practical application to wisdom. But this morning, I want to just focus on Proverbs 6, 6 through 11, by looking at the ant. And so let's read together Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, this practical wisdom from Solomon. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is a very practical message this morning, but I don't want you to think it's just good advice. Because when we look at the Proverbs, when we think about godly wisdom, it is directly connected to worship. Understand this, that our work ethic, our work and responsibility that you and I steward is in itself an act of worship. Sometimes we think that what we do in here 1 hour a week is worship as the end-all, be-all, end of the box. No, this is the culmination of a week of personal worship coming together to acknowledge and worship together in the faith. But worship is something that happens every day in the life of the believer. I'm reminded of a story of a few years back when there was a young man that was taking the garbage out of my office every day. That was one of his jobs. And I remember he came in one day and I said, hey, I just want to say thank you for taking care of my garbage and always doing it so well and with a smile. And he turned to me and said, I don't do it for you. I do it for the Lord. And I appreciated that, but I thought, well, let me just play around here. And I said, well, could maybe a little bit be for me? And he said, nope. And you know what? He's absolutely right. According to the book of Colossians, You and I do not work for men, but we work for God. 1 Corinthians reminds us that whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. Many people think that work is the curse of Genesis 3. Work is not the curse. That it is hard is the curse. See, a theology of work is that Adam and Eve had responsibility and work in the garden, and that was a fulfilling act of worship to steward what God had given them under their responsibility. And in fact, when you think about heaven, there is work in heaven. I have mentioned before, several years ago in a sermon about heaven, that if you think that heaven is only going to be sitting in rows of pews singing the old classics from the hymnal, you are wrong. Do I think that that probably will be a part of it? Yeah, we're going to probably sing praise to God. But we will also do work to the glory of God in heaven. Why else would Jesus tell the disciples that if they are faithful here, that they will have more responsibility in his kingdom? That he would put them over as stewards of 5 and 10 cities. Do you understand that what you and I do here on this planet, even the stewarding of the responsibilities God has given us, is worship? And it is training for what we will do to give God glory forever and ever. And so with that, let us look at the ant. And here are three things from this passage this morning. Number one, as we look at the ant, be a diligent self-starter. Be a diligent self-starter. Solomon says, let's look to the ant, and then he sort of gets personal. Oh, sluggard. It's like, you don't know me. But yet, he probably does in some aspect of our life where we are a sluggard. How would you define a sluggard? Someone who is lazy. Someone who is unreliable. Someone who does not hit deadlines. Someone who is putting off today what they feel like they can do tomorrow. They are procrastinators. He says, oh, sluggard, just look at the ant. And then he zooms in and looks at the ant and says, even without a supervisor or a boss, she is diligently, faithfully preparing bread in the summer and gathering it in the harvest. When we look to the ant for our work ethic, we should be diligent self-starters. Here's the truth in the outline. A biblically wise person understands that a good work ethic honors God. There's a quote that I saw this week from Walter Chrysler of Chrysler Automobiles. He says this is so good. The reason so many people never get anywhere in life is because when opportunity knocks, they are in the backyard looking for four-leaf clovers. I like that. Look, when we talk about pursuing wisdom today so that we can pass it on tomorrow, can I be honest? One of the things we need to pass on is a godly work ethic to every generation that comes behind us. I'm concerned that there is a sense of it is easier to look for four-leaf clovers than to do a day's honest work. This should not be the case for God's people. For a biblically wise person understands that a godly work ethic is from God. It's an act of worship. It reminds me when I was in high school, I worked at a pet supply shop, which is just so insane now and drives my kids crazy because I am not a pet person, never have been. don't plan to ever be, which is why they get frustrated to know that I used to work in a pet store and will not have pets. But I remember that when I was in high school, one of the jobs, it's a tedious job, but it was what they called the perimeter. And at the end of every evening, we would go and we would front all the shelves, and you would pull all the cans and face them and all the bags from stock and make sure that everything was as ready as it could be for the morning when the customers came in the next day. And because I was willing to be a diligent self-starter, I would be assigned that task every single night. It is one of the most tedious tasks, but I would just do it. And I would, and this is so wild now, but it would be like at the team meetings, I would get acknowledged for doing the perimeter. And one time I got a 15 cent an hour raise in front of all my coworkers because of doing that. Now, I'm not trying to pop myself on the back, but it's just an illustration because some of my coworkers, also teenagers, started to figure out that he's getting this whopping, I mean, just life-changing 15 cents an hour raise here, but they didn't want to do the work. And this is often how it is. They had ingenuity. They had, cleverness. They just misapplied it. And so what they did is they figured out that they could go on and create as many fake email accounts as they want and give rave reviews about the employees through the company website. And all of a sudden, it started to be that in the company meetings, there was all these notes and emails coming in. And I won't say their name just because this goes on the internet, but for so-and-so and so-and-so. And they were, for a short period of time, really being elevated and honored until it was discovered and they got lazy and used an email that traced back to them. See, they were looking for four-leaf clovers instead of an honest day's work. See, this is not how the believer is to live, applying our cleverness and cunningness and misapplying it. We should do everything like the ant with diligence, with a self-starter attitude, with initiative. Those things that you and I are responsible for. Now, before we get too far down this track with the ant this morning, because I do recognize the vast majority of those that I'm speaking to, particularly in this service, when I talk about work, I'm not talking only about vocation or things that you and I get a paycheck for. Because for many of you, you may be retired. But yet you and I still have God-given responsibilities. And will we be diligent with initiative, like the ant, not needing someone over our shoulder? Because maybe we don't have a human supervisor, but as we mentioned from the top, everything we do does have a supervisor. It is for God the Father. So that brings me to the second thing from the ant this morning, not only to be a diligent self-starter, but two, to be a disciplined steward. To be a disciplined steward. Notice that the ant is preparing bread in the summer and bringing it in the harvest. Essentially, what Solomon is recognizing by looking at nature, by looking at the ant, is that without any supervisor, without a calendar to remind them, they are making enough food in the summer so that they will have enough in winter when they go underground and are no longer collecting food. The ant is a discerning steward, disciplined in stewarding the resources. Here's a couple of applications here. Number one, in our work, let us use discipline with the resources that God has given us to steward. There's two ways with this, both in our work being a good steward of those resources, and then personally, not spending every single penny that we earned the week before. I I didn't even look it up because it's just so depressing, but the number, the dollar amount in credit card debt in our country right now, it's off the charts. I mean, it is unbelievable. And many, I mean, I'm speaking in a room where maybe you're struggling with that, and certainly the economy has been challenging, but what I'm saying is this: biblical wisdom is how can we be disciplined with the resources we have and, like the ant, save some away in the surplus for times of lean. For instance, I heard a story in the last couple of weeks talking with someone where they were unable to pay their electric bill, which is a difficult circumstance. But when further probed into their overall financial situation, they were spending over $100 a week on DoorDash. It's about being disciplined with the resources that we have. I find it amazing, all the commercials. I love watching the NBA playoffs, and about every commercial break, there is a commercial for some credit app that will help you cancel subscriptions that you are paying for that you had forgotten about. And I just think about that. I mean, who knows what number, like that there are things that we may be paying for every month that we've either forgotten about, or we'll take care of it next month, or I might start using it again in 3 months, or it's just such a hassle to cancel it today. And most of those likely started with a sign up for a 7-day or a 14-day free trial, and then all of a sudden 14 days goes by, and the next thing you know, you're 6 months in at $10 a month for some service that you don't need, want, or even remember that you have. Look to the ant. Look, these are difficult economic times. Gas is high. The grocery bill at the checkout line, you're just sort of going, please be under whatever that amount for you is. We need to be disciplined like the ant in times of bounty to make sure that we are ready for times of lean. For young people in the room today, and I fully expect that there will be a hearty amen at the end of this, but I always try to tell, like, young married couples when we talk about finances and premarital counseling, one of the things I always tell them is whatever you can do now to put into retirement, do it. Your future self will thank you for that $10 a paycheck into a retirement plan now at 19, 20, 21 years old because of the power of compounding interest. But yet we spend more than we make, or we spend every dollar and penny that we make. Look to the ant. You want wisdom? Work hard and be a good steward of those things that God has given you, both in your job and personally. So let's go back to the job. Be a good steward of the time, the resources, and the people that you are working with. This is what the godly, the wise, biblically wise person does. Martin Luther, one of the Reformation heroes, if you will, was asked by a cobbler who had just come to faith in Jesus Christ, a cobbler who makes shoes, and he says, "What should I do now that I am a believer?" He's sort of going, now that I'm a believer, what in my life changes? What do I do? And this is sort of a paraphrase of a few statements that Martin Luther made to this cobbler, but he essentially said this: go make great shoes at a great price to the glory of God. I love that. I love that. You're a cobbler, now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, go make great shoes at a great price to the glory of God. So many of us wonder, and maybe you're here this morning and you are beginning to wonder about What is my purpose? What is God's purpose and plan for my life? That is a good question because He does have a purpose and plan for your life. But understand this. It's not in the backyard looking for four-leaf clovers. It's saying, what responsibilities has God given me today? His purpose and plan is to do the things that He's already given me. If you're a husband, God's purpose and plan is to be a great husband to your wife. If you're a wife, your purpose and plan is to love and honor your husband to the glory of God. If you make shoes, God's purpose and plan for your life, go make great shoes at a great price to the glory of God. We need to be diligent self-starters. We need to be disciplined stewards. And I probably forgot the truth there, but for those that need the blanks, a biblically wise person is a responsible steward in their work and their wage. I'm reminded of this, I alluded to it earlier. This has been such an important passage to me personally over the course, particularly of my working life, particularly of my ministerial life, which is the parable of the talents, where Jesus describes where a master gives talents 1, 3, 5. He's going to go on a journey. He's going to return. The one that had 5 doubled it 10. The one that had 3 doubled it 6. Well done, good and faithful. The one that had 1 buried it, brought it back just intact with no interest even from the bank. You wicked, lazy servant. But what he tells those that have been faithful, I love this. This is so good. You have been faithful in small things. Now I will give you greater responsibility. And to the wicked, the lazy, you have not been faithful, so how can I give you more responsibility? Be a disciplined steward of what God has given you, no matter if it's great or small. I mean, for me, I mentioned that this has been a passage that has meant something to me in ministry. My first ministry job out of seminary, I went to a church in Mississippi, and they had a small youth group that had been fractured after just some things that had happened, and they gave me also responsibility of the college ministry that had 2 people in it, one of whom was a senior. So I was like, we're going to either have to grow or we're going to be cut in half by the end of this school year. And again, I just want to offer this as an illustration, not for pride's sake, not to pump myself up, but just as an illustration. I spent as much time preparing messages for those 2 college students as I do right now for what I do on Sunday mornings. And I believe that's why God has given me responsibility to preach on Sunday mornings. Because when it was just 2 students, faithful in small things, diligent self-starter, disciplined with whatever God has given you and I to be responsible for, which leads me to the third and final thing this morning. Deny slothful tendencies. Deny slothful tendencies. The end of this passage, Solomon says, be like the ant, be a diligent self-starter, disciplined with the resources. And then he gives this little poem. It's like a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands as you get ready to go to sleep. And it just seems so, almost like a lullaby. And then the dark side of that lullaby comes forward. And then poverty comes in like a robber, like an armed man, it comes upon you. Here's the wisdom. Not only is it an act of worship to work with a godly work ethic, but it is to your own detriment when we don't. When we are procrastinators, when we are not using the time that we have well at work or over the responsibilities that we have, do not be surprised when poverty rushes in like a thief. Now, some of your translations, they've sort of struggled with how to translate that last verse, whether it should be a robber and an armed man or a vagabond and a beggar. So there may be, depending on your translation, you may have either or. The point is the same. It is either a robber who will come in with great attack, poverty will come and attack you and rob you of your resources, or if it's a vagabond and a beggar, it will come and leech at your resources until they are depleted. Either way, the point is slothful tendencies will lead to your own detriment. And here's the truth in your outline. I want you to see this. Procrastination will destroy your bank account and your testimony. We probably understand that it will damage our bank account, because in tough economic times, you want to, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a faithful worker, I mean, sometimes it's out of your control, but if it's between you and someone else and it's an equal situation, who do they want? The diligent worker or the one that has a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands? When it's time for annual performance reviews, you don't want to walk in when they notice that you have been a little sleep, a little slumber, about 15 minutes to late every day. See, we live in a culture that wants slothful attitudes. There is a sense that if I can be free of responsibility, then I am truly free. That is a lie. That is a lie. There is a reason that nearly every lotto winner ends up bankrupt or isolated and with mental health issues, because they have lost purpose and responsibility. They were given lack of responsibility when they had not earned lack of responsibility. And it came in like a thief, or it leached off them like a vagabond, and it led to their demise. But I want to mention this, even more so than about bank accounts, that last part there that I put in the notes. It will damage your testimony. One of the other phrases in Proverbs over and over is having a good name. Oh, to have a good name in your community, to have a good name in your family, how it is to be treasured and guarded, to have a good name. When you and I are lazy, procrastinators, unreliable to follow through with what we said we would do, when we are the sluggard, why would anyone want to follow our example in following Jesus Christ? I was at a Resonate conference. Our partner in the Northwest is planting churches on college campuses, and this was maybe about 3 years ago. In one of the breakout sessions, there was a young man who had been through Resonate, and he had gone into a career, and he came back to speak to other college students, and the topic of his breakout session was godly work ethic. And I remember I just sort of sat in just because I was curious. You don't hear a lot of talks on that. And my soul was stirred to praise listening to this young man tell other young people about the joy, purpose, fulfillment, and worship of their job. And here is one of the things he said. And this for that audience was so huge, because that audience, that group of Resonate students, I mean, they are told over and over about going and making disciples, and it is elevated that those who go and make that are going to help with church plants. But he was speaking to those that did not feel a call to vocational ministry, but to a vocation. And he started by saying, some of you may be wrestling with, how do I do 40 hours of ministry and 40 hours of work all in the same week? And he said, that's a false dichotomy. He said, when you go to work, it is one of the venues in which you can make disciples. He said, God is going to put you in a company or in a job or in a small business, or you're going to have employees that you're responsible for. He says, you go and do work well and make disciples. That is for all of us. I love what he said, one of the quotes, and this is just a paraphrase as I typed it down that day. He said, you don't have to be godly to be good at working, but you can't be godly and not be good at working. Which means this, there are a lot of people who are far from God, who do not know him, who have a strong work ethic, and when they see believers who are lazy, they will not hear the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to look to the ant to be diligent self-starters, disciplined with resources, and to deny slothful tendencies, so that we may honor our Father in heaven and we may have a platform and a place of testimony, one of the areas that you and I can make disciples. I'll close with this. Stacy, if you would, just come as I want to have a time of closing song and worship this morning. One of the things this young man said again in that Resonate meeting is he said, when you and I work a godly work ethic, and we are excellent in our work, who knows that we aren't being an answer to God's prayer for someone else? And he gave another quote. I forget who it was from, but he said, there's a family that goes to bed and they pray, God, provide us our daily bread. And then in the morning, the baker wakes up to bake it. I love that. Amen. I love that. You and I, let's apply biblical wisdom. And this is just one aspect, but let us work to the glory of God so that our testimony may be heard and respected, so that we may see people awakened from death to life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then I want us to sing. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ, man, I'd love to talk with you after the service. You can go to our Next Step desk. If you came here with a believer, talk to them over lunch today. We had someone even just last Sunday, right after service, accepted Christ as Savior. So do not delay if God is pulling at your heart today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you care even about the responsibilities that we have. May we honor you. May we look to the ant and be diligent in work, disciplined with the resources you provide, and deny slothful tendencies. And Lord, by doing so, may you and your name gain glory. It's in Christ's name, amen.